National Championship game is Monday night, 7:30. It is the U, number 10 Miami, taking on number 1 Indiana. That doesn't even sound right coming out of my mouth, and I'm talking about the Indiana part. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is, man, and it's true and it's real, and Indiana has a chance to put themselves in unique company. Mike, I don't know if we've ever seen what this turnaround has been for a team that really has not done anything for 60 years.
Right.
And then all of a sudden now they're the most dominant team in college football. We were having this conversation, guys, before we came back on. The conversation we're having is, because we're going to get to our pick segment coming up next hour, and Mike and I were like, oh, Indiana's a touchdown favorite, right? Six and a half. And Day-Day goes, no, 8.5. I'm not going to say it's disrespectful because they've blown out everybody, but you've had time to look at this team for a while now. If you're Miami, Mike, the health is a concern. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is Indiana's going to do what they did to Ohio State in the championship game, which they held them to 10. They held Alabama to 3 points. And then in garbage time, Oregon scored 22. But we know that's not really what it was.
Right.
If they left their first-team defense out there, it was a blowout. My point is, they have been the most dominant team in college football. And I want you to hear Joel Klatt, who covers college football for Fox, really good insider, talking about the job Kirk Cignetti has done.
This idea of like, well, Kirby's the best coach in college football. Well, no, he's not. He hasn't even played in the Final Four in the last 3 years with good teams, by the way. And in some cases, based on the composite, the most talented team. So Kirk Cignetti is doing more with less than anybody, and he's doing it on a stage and at a pace right now that is fairly unprecedented. He did it at Indiana. Guys, Indiana is likely to win the national championship. That blows my mind.
I mean, a little bit of Big Ten bias on Joel's part.
Fair.
But Kirby, I said it this year, Kirby's got to look at himself in the mirror every day about that Ole Miss game. They freaking blew it. Last year, it was two plays. Would they have had the juice to go all the way last year after losing? I mean, if they don't lose to Notre Dame. But they made some tactical mistakes in both Sugar Bowls, Carl. That's coaching.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't care what anybody says, whatever the expectations were for the season, once you're there in the tournament and you're two games away, you can't blow that lead. And you can't sit on that lead before halftime. And you can't do whatever the hell that was on fourth down. Whoever misheard whatever the thing was supposed to be with snapping or not snapping. That's on Kirby. So I'll agree with Joel there. This team is as good as anybody that's still alive. I put them against Miami and yes, even Indiana. It's despite how great they've looked.
Here's Heather Dinich from ESPN talking about comparing this Indiana team to the 2019 LSU squad. That was Joe Burrow and company and all those NFL guys. And the 0-1 Miami team. Now, if you're not old enough to remember that team.
Now you're talking crazy.
That team was ridiculous.
Everybody went to the NFL.
Everybody. Literally the entire team was there in the draft. Here's Heather Dinich comparing him.
This Indiana team doesn't have 5-star recruits up and down its lineup. It doesn't recruit like LSU did, or that 2001 Miami team laden with NFL players. These guys were 0 stars.
Yeah.
No one has done what Kurt Cignetti is about to do, and that puts them in a space all by themselves. Our stats and information people told us just before the show that Yale in 1894 is the only other team to go 16-0. So they're on the brink of college football lore.
We are going to see Monday night. We'll give you our picks. By the way, back at the studio, Big O, everybody here on the show's got to pick the national championship game. Don't care if you're going over or under, whatever you want to do. But it's part of our picks, and then you can pick two NFL games. We'll do that next hour.
But I will say this. I mean, nobody's talking about it, but it is the reality of college football. You know, the average Indiana player is like 35. I mean, it's not that bad. But, I mean, they're like one full year of experience more than Miami, and Miami's one of the oldest teams in college, too.
Yep.
So part of this is, and it's why Michigan won the championship, because guys stuck around. I mean, this is part of it. Now, if you want to go back to what Connor Riley told us, just get back to the point that Joel made about Kirby, that this team was always going to be young and tested on defense, and if you have to go and rely on the kind of comebacks and the circumstances to beat Tennessee up in Knoxville, you could argue that, okay, maybe this wasn't George's year. I'm just feeling when you're there, you can't make the mistakes you made.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that fair?
Absolutely it is. Mike, look, I think we are in this realm right now where everybody's being hypersensitive about criticizing Kirby because of the success he's brought and what this program is. We're not debating that. Georgia's still Georgia. Georgia's still going to be in the mix. But we have to be real with what we saw in that Ole Miss game. And, look, sometimes the great ones get criticized. It doesn't make them not great. Hell, Nick Saban got criticized, okay?
Right.
It's just what it is. But I think everybody's a little cautious to say, well, you know, look what Kirby's done. We're not taking anything away from him. But in those moments, Mike, in those big moments, again, when he wasn't winning chips and was losing to Nick Saban in those big games, we all wondered, hey, can he get over the hump?
Right.
Can he do it? Then he proved he could do it. So I just feel like we gotta be balanced here when we talk about Kirby. He is, in my opinion, and I do disagree with Joel Klatt, in this moment, right, Kirk Cignetti is the guy because he is doing something that we've never seen. But I'm willing to put Kirby Smart's career up against
right.
Kurt Cignetti's career and talk about what Kirby's been able to accomplish. And I say this all the time, man. He had four rings before he got to Georgia, right? So he's been a hell of a defensive coordinator, hell of a defensive mind, and now we know what he's at, what he is as a head coach. But it's going to be interesting to see on Monday night. Meanwhile, as we talk about what went down last night with our Hawks, a loss to the Trailblazers. Can I get the final call from my buddy Steve Holman?
The horn sounds, and that's it. So the Hawks fall short here in Portland. And they had a 9-point lead, 77-68 in the third quarter. The Hawks were down 33-25 after one. They were up 56-54 at the half. Portland led 88-87 after three. And then your final score, the Trailblazers 117, and the Hawks 101.
Mike, I guess we're still overreacting about this team not playing defense.
What is Quinn Snyder?
We didn't play defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's a riddle wrapped in an enigma. And by the way, Quinn, you know, you can get a T. The refs were horrible last night. I watched about 20 minutes last night. There was a play, I want to say it was Jalen with the ball. They come over the top, knock it out of bounds, and then they call a ticky-tack foul on the inbounds. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Weak sauce.
So how about Quinn show a little human emotion?
Fire?
And get teed up and get the gate, man. You might lose the game, but maybe sometimes this stuff, it sounds silly to stat nerds. It energizes the team. Quinn Snyder, man, it's like watching a librarian coaching a – nothing against librarians. I'm sure there's some passionate librarians out there. I haven't met many. I have nothing – if Quinn Snyder was fired tomorrow, I'd say, goodbye, never really knew you anyway. So, adios.
28 points off of turnovers, 52 points given up in the paint. Do you guys realize we're having these same conversations every damn day? Like, every day. And here's the deal, Mike. Say what you want. I said this yesterday. Stop blaming a guy who's not here anymore. Everybody wants to talk about how the defensive numbers and the percentages and, you know, the plus minus was when Trey was here. He's not here. So,
right.
And by the way, I guess my issue with this is I thought we were going to hit a switch when Trey got traded. I thought once Trey left, everybody was just going to be, and this was going to happen. And, Mike, it's looked okay.
State your source.
It hasn't looked great. I'm trying, Trey.
Well, Trey, the good news for you is you don't really have to hit the ground running in D.C. since they're now tanking. And they're going to put, pardon the pun, you on ice. It really is ice, Trey. I mean, it is what it is. But the one thing we've also noticed is now to whom much is given, as in it's your chance to shine, Jalen Johnson's not responding. Now, it's a small sample size, but Jalen Johnson's had a couple of clunkers in a row.
Are you saying he can't handle this responsibility of being the face?
I don't know. Has the coach asked him? Has the coach talked to him?
Hey, Jalen, could you maybe, you know, do more?
Anyway, Jalen was 4 of 9, 12 points. Maybe the volume's not there. He needs to be putting up more shots. All Okongwu, who shot 15 attempts from 3.
I'm sorry?
15, which is too freaking many.
15 threes?
Yes, because, you know, Quinn's, he wants him to shoot.
15?
15.
Not from him.
No, because he's supposed to be the center. Okay, that's why.
I don't mind that you shoot threes, but you can't shoot 15.
Go get some Frankenstein to
Who
protect.
Who is he, Bogey?
That's it. It's Al Horford didn't take that many threes when he was here.
Come on, man. Come on.
You guys ready to settle?
What? Settle what?
On the season.
No, now, I'm not ready to
now,
settle.
Day Day is ready. He wants to. We're going to get Porzingis' salary off the books for maybe trade expiring contracts, maybe get some picks. We'll find out. Find something. But we need to find Frankenstein, man. We need a 7-footer with the bolts in the neck and everything, Carl, to protect,
yeah.
To be in the paint.
Yeah. All right. They're back home. We'll talk more about it. It's just like I feel like I'm having the same conversation over and over and over.
Right.
The other team scored a lot of points.
Snyder tomorrow. Mo Gay had, look, is this proper? 21 minutes, zero offensive rebounds.
Mo Gay?
Mo Gay. There's your problem, sports fans. Look, it doesn't take a rocket science. We have an unimpressive coach that can't motivate these guys, and we're also
Quinn Snyder tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Wait, did you just say that?
Yes, I'd fire Quinn Snyder now.
Quinn Snyder tomorrow.
I don't know what he is. He hasn't done anything, and now he's actually got a pretty good team.
Yeah, he's not getting it done, that's for sure. Hey, last but not least, some baseball news, and I know we're a few weeks away from spring training. Them damn Dodgers, Mike. These Dodgers, man, they sign outfielder Kyle Tucker. You're not a baseball fan. Just realize they got two of the best players on top of Freddie and Mookie and all these other guys they have. Kyle Tucker signs a four-year, $240 million guaranteed deal. It has opt-outs after year two and three. Why do they opt out? It's like the NBA, because I can get more, okay?
Right.
It's not because, hey, I'm opting out, because I can get less. $64 million signing bonus. This sounds like the NFL. $30 million deferred, $57 million a year for Kyle Tucker.
Look, it's never going to happen. We may have this giant labor situation with baseball coming up because, as Carl pointed out today on our pre-show, they got the strongest union. The NFL players, I mean, the guys that should be making the most money in all of sports are the NFL, but it's baseball. And they've got a union that doesn't budge, and they're not. We need a cap. And it's not just about the Dodgers to cap it and make it competitive, because the best team doesn't always win. We know that. It's to get the bottom feeders to get up there.
So
the Marlins, why do you have nobody in your stadium? Because you always blow it up. You know, today's Pirates are tomorrow's Yankees. The A's, you know. I mean, Cleveland actually made a nice run. Are they going to stay committed to it? Pittsburgh's actually payroll. I looked it up. It's not the worst. But you've got to get these owners to spend some money. They're never going to do it.
Yeah, Paul Skeens is going to be there 7 years and then be traded. Watch.
Right.
Like they'll play.
It's going to be like when I was a kid. You go see Tom Seaver every fourth day back then. There's no one else to see.
If you're wondering, Dodgers have $2.1 billion of guaranteed salary on their books. In comparison, the Braves have $656 million.
And we don't even have a TV deal in place. They've got the best TV deal in sports.
Coming up, we're live from the Gateway Center, guys. Fourth and one's on the way. More coaching news. Falcons continue interviewing candidates, including one today. We'll tell you who it is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Fired Quinn Snyder tomorrow.